degree at the end of last year, and that was another big tick for me. So to have finished that, to have completed 2 years of coaching and learnt a heck of a lot at Richmond, I thought it was just probably time to step away and see what life was like outside of the footy environment. And then seeing the way my friend went about it, I, as I said, I really admired that. So I got in touch with a few people who had been over to Tanzania, and sort of through that it came about that I ended up getting a volunteer gig with Future Warriors Project. So it was mostly through people that I knew.
How much did you know about Tanzania?
The only thing I really knew was that it was pretty safe. Sounds funny now, but that's sort of the one thing that I was wanting. The rest of it, I was really happy to go in unknown and figure it out as I went there. And again, only through comments from friends who had spent time there, they just said, let it sort of evolve and don't go in too planned. And that was the good change from footy too, because footy is so planned all the time. To be able to go into something which is unknown was exciting for me.
Did you have a job description?
I did. I was teaching sport at a preschool and a primary school, and that's all I thought I'd be doing. But then it evolved into coaching some soccer at a secondary school too, and then was able to meet a lot of different people, which opened up a whole lot of other doors. So I went in knowing I was going to be doing the teaching and came out with all these other travels, all these other adventures that I didn't expect.
I'm thinking of adventures, and I start by thinking, Max, about a language barrier, then what you have to eat and drink and all of those things you have to be so careful of.
Yeah, I realise how sheltered we are here in Australia, and some of that is a great thing, keeps us pretty safe, but I think a lot of it also hinders our own personal growth, and that's what I found just in the 6 months I had in East Africa. I grew a heck of a lot as a person because I was thrown in the deep end and had to kind of fend for myself a bit, which I'd, without really knowing, I'd missed that throughout my childhood. So that aspect I really enjoyed.
No pun intended, but you're a very tall man. When you arrived there, was there anyone who was in any way as tall as you?
No. I'd gone in thinking, I was working with the Maasai tribe, and I'd gone in hearing things that they were one of the taller races in Africa. So I thought maybe I'll be amongst my peers, but it wasn't the case, unfortunately. And so I, not only being white, did I stand out. I stood out because I was twice as tall as everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Food? How was that?
Food was easy, Peter. I was living on some farmland, so we basically had it all at our front door. We could walk out and pick whatever we needed, from tomatoes, beans, corn, potatoes, and all this other stuff. So it was it's a really simple way to live, but actually quite a healthy way.
The safety factor?
Safety wasn't an issue. So I was in quite a remote village, but there's no... The great thing about Tanzania, there's been no real internal wars or conflicts that have exploded like a lot of other African nations. So they're quite peaceful. They're really nice people. Probably the danger you get into is going into some of the major cities where you might get pickpocketed or something stolen, but that's as much as I saw.
Max, with your football career, you set yourself goals and you can judge on how you've performed by a scoreboard at the end of a particular game. How do you judge yourself on being away from the comfort zone in a country you've never been to before, and how do you feel about what you've done?
Yeah, that's a funny one, because it is. You really do judge yourself on results, and not being able to see results a lot of the time when I was there was quite frustrating early. The great thing I learned, as I said before, I got a lot of personal growth out of it, and I feel like I evolved quite a lot, and that's what I took out of it. I walk away feeling a bit selfish, because I feel like what I got out of the whole experience was greater than what I put in, but I just think that's, everyone I talk to has done a similar thing. They say that's the case all the time. You go over thinking you're going to do something great, and you come back having been impacted far greater than what you gave back.
Was there a loneliness factor?
Yeah, particularly early on, and going on your other point about the language barrier, that was probably what drove it a lot of the time. So the first few months when I didn't know much of the language and I was by myself because sometimes there wasn't a lot to do, it was quite frustrating and lonely. The great thing was I had some great support through Future Warriors Project, who I did the volunteering through. And then had some friends come and visit too. So that, I'm not a real talkative person in general, but I found pretty quickly that communication is just so important.
And were you living with a family, or did you sort yourself out by yourself?
Future Warriors Project put me up in a volunteer house they'd built, which is right next to a preschool that they were running. So I was living with the preschool teacher and her young son, and we we'd spent most nights cooking together and kind of just making our own fun, so to speak.
So, Max, what do you think then made you a better person, given the experience over in Tanzania?
Yeah, I've been trying to whittle that down and get through all the stuff that I went through and find out what I actually got out of it. But I think it's certainly the greater perspective that I've got about how fortunate we are here in Australia and everything that we have, and it's changed my look on simple things like how I'm spending my money and how I'm spending my time. And it's also the thing that's led me back into coaching is the fact that I think as young footballers, we tend to be quite inward, and selfish is the wrong word, but it's you're looking after yourself because that's what you need to do. And I think there's great value in looking outside of yourself and seeing how you can help someone else, no matter how small or big it is. That ends up releasing a lot of pressure you put on yourself. And I think I tend to be of the opinion that if people can do that, they find more fulfillment in whatever it is they're doing, in football in particular. So that's probably the great value I've got out of the trip.
I'm picturing myself and trying to think about what experiences you had and thinking about, say, the night time you just can't get up and walk away from the table and flick on Fox Football or put the racing station on. So, well, what did you miss most of all about what would normally be in your life?
Yeah, it was the talking to people, Peter. As I said, I'm not a big talker as it is, but when you can't simply communicate something, it's really difficult. And so that, as I said before, it added to my loneliness. So once I was able to communicate in some small way, it took a lot of weight off, and I know there was a point probably 2 months in where I flipped from sort of dreading the time I was spending there to actually really enjoying it, because I was able to communicate, I was able to then get all these different experiences and go and see all the different things I got to see purely because I could actually speak to people.
Are you more of a patient person now, do you think?
Yeah, without a doubt. I ran into a Melbournean bloke in Nairobi, and he said he finds it hilarious. He lives in Nairobi now. When he comes back to Australia and he's waiting in a line for 15 minutes, he hears people complaining, and he thinks it's great because he's used to waiting in a line for 2 hours. So it's certainly, you do get used to being more patient, and another little added bonus, I guess.
What about when the time came for you to come back to Australia? How were the feelings then?
Yeah, it was really mixed, but I'd had a great time. So 5 months in Tanzania, and then spent a month through Kenya and Uganda at the end with a few other charities. So I'd had a long sort of goodbye phase, and then I was going on to London and the US to see some family. So the goodbye was hard, but it happened really quickly, so I didn't have time to reflect on it until later on. The great thing is with technology now, and even in a remote community in Tanzania, you can get internet coverage and talk to people that way. So it's a great thing. I don't know what I would have been like without that sort of stuff.